Peter. I think the two reasons why John has this last chapter given to us, one is to reveal how Jesus reinstated Peter. And I think that's very important for us to get a hold of. Because we know what Peter just did, right? We know what happened. We know that he denied Christ. And really, you don't hear much about him after that. He was there at the crucifixion. And he was there when they rose from the tomb. And we know that. And we know that he was the first one that ran to the tomb and got in there and saw. And so, and again, following, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. And they were to wait for the promise of God, the Spirit of God, to come upon them. Well, we find in chapter 21, after these things, in verse 1, showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself there together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the son of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So we find them here. And we're going to see, as we go into chapter 3 and following, we're going to see that Peter makes a statement to them and says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. Now, that's an interesting phrase, and we're going to look at that a little bit. So we have Peter now saying, I'm going fishing. Maybe it's his self-care day. I don't know. Maybe it was his way of saying, you know what, this is just too much for me to handle. But he does. So to reveal how Christ reinstated Peter after his fall was one of the reasons why we have chapter 21. But the other reason, I think, is to correct the serious error about the Lord's return. Now see, when you know the gospel, so what were the Jews looking for on the day that Christ entered into Jerusalem? He entered in on the donkey. He entered in with all the hoorahs and hosannas. And what were they looking for? The king to do what?
Take charge,
take over, set up his kingdom. That was not true. He was not setting up the kingdom right then. He was the king, and he was coming to next stage of setting up the kingdom, was he needed to simply be sacrificed, and I don't mean simply, but he needed to sacrifice and die and be risen again, and the kingdom will be set up later. So the whole gospel story is about the Jews in their wrong thinking of the kingdom coming in that moment. And that's part of why chapter 21 is here. To set Peter, reinstate him back, and also to correct the error of the kingdom, of their thought process. So with those two truths, with those two things we know and understand, one of the things, I think it's interesting, but what were some of the things that Peter just went through? Let's go back a little bit in the gospel message. What was some of the things that Peter experienced? And we can start with the triumphal entry, just even that alone. What were some of the other things that happened? Cut off the ear. What else did Peter get involved in? Peter was involved in a lot of stuff. Denial, he denied Christ. What else do we have? There was more than just a couple things Peter was involved in and the disciples were all involved in. The Last Supper. What happened at the Last Supper that would really affect these men? Many things, but the one thing that really, in a human perspective, would really, really bother them. The betrayal. They just went through a betrayal of one of their friends. He was a friend. He was somebody that was one of them. And to the point to where when Christ said one would betray me, none of them knew who it would be. So he was right in the mix. He was a friend. So you got betrayal in that. What else do we have? Anything else? The foot washing. We have the actual crucifixion where he denied him. But as Peter ran away and wept after he denied Christ, I don't know how far he ran. I don't know how far he was away. But I can't help think he still heard the event. And what the noise of what that event, have you ever thought about what it sounded like? What did the crucifixion sound like? And I, boy, sometimes my mind wanders on some of those things. And because I like sound. I'm always listening to music, always listening to something. I love, I got Kim a gift that I really enjoy, you know, one of those things. And it plays all these either beach or waterfalls or night sounds, and you put it on, and you actually go to sleep to it. I mean, they do it for little guys, and it works. I figured old men would work too, and it does. Works well. So I always have to have noise. I'm listening to sound. I love sound. And there's nothing greater than sitting in the woods first thing in the morning listening to God's world wake up. It's just peaceful. But what were the sounds of the crucifixion? All the screaming, all the hollering, all the hooting, all just everything that would be in there. And so when you think of it that way and you put it into perspective, I can't help but think Peter didn't go that far away. I mean, he ran away and he wept, but I don't know how far he went and he wept. So all these things were taking place. The resurrection, the Lord, he saw the Lord risen. And now we have him at this point in time, and he's like, I'm going fishing. I'm just going fishing. And I found that, again, that to me, one of those things that you read and think, really, you're going fishing. And so a couple of things that we find out of this was very important. And turn to Matthew 28. Real quick, there's a verse in Matthew 28 that plays into this very clearly. And looking at verse 7. Matthew 28:7 says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now, is the Sea of Galilee the same as the place that Peter now is going to go fishing? Well, in the sea, but it is the same. When it go back into John, when it says in verse 21 that they were in the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place. So in that aspect, they were told by the angel that they would be seen, because it says in 28:7 that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee. He goes before you. So they were already knowing in the chronological order of things that they were going to see him. Whether Peter was a little antsy on that or whatever, we know Peter was always a little antsy, always jumped the gun. And so he went to, and basically they were there, and he was going to go fishing. And so they were told ahead of time. So it was very significant for Christ to man himself in a different location at a later time. You know, they saw him risen, they saw him there, but then they were going to see him in another place in another time. And this was the place, this was the time. So Peter, no doubt, would have seen that. And we understand what he just went through. He went through a real bad week. He went through a real bad time with the realm of everything that he saw and everything that happened and everything, the betrayal, the crucifixion, his denial, everything. He was at a place where he's like, you know what? I'm just done. What do I do next? What do I do next? And I'm thinking that in life, we find ourselves in that place. So this is a scripture that it should resonate with us. It should say, okay, what do we do now? Where do we go? And I want to say it's quite interesting, because when you look at that concept that as he went fishing, he maybe misunderstood the Lord's command in verse 22 of chapter 20. Verse 22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto him, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye rent, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And so when we look at that verse 22, and Peter, again, looking at that, but he also had a family to support, right? Peter had a family. So he's in this crossroads. What do I do? Everything now is so changed in his world that he reverts back to fishing, his what he knew best. He was a fisherman before Christ called him, and he went back to supporting the family, went back to doing his old. And that's a valuable lesson of itself. And I'm not saying what Peter did was completely wrong, but don't we just revert back to the old when we don't know what the new looks like? Safe place, comfort zone, absolutely. That's what we revert back to. You and I will revert back to our comfort zone, a safe place, when we don't know what any of the new looks like, when we don't think things are going on, we go back to our comfort zones. And it's interesting that when Peter was going back to the only comfort zone he knew, guess who he found? God was there waiting. That is a valuable lesson for us. That is a valuable place. When we go back to our comfort zones, we go back to our place that all we know, listen, God's still going to be there. So that's an important, valuable lesson. The first one, we see it through Peter as he goes through all of this. And so you go into, and let me read down a few verses in John 21. After we read through three, same Peter said, we're going fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Very important thing in verse 4. Because now what we have is early in the morning, the disciples, they failed to recognize Christ on the shore. They caught nothing. Again, that ought to be a familiar phrase, right? It wouldn't be the first time that they caught nothing and God showed up and something happened. And so when they stood there, and it's interesting in verse 5. Then Jesus say unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. No big deal. Nothing happened. But look at verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in it for the multitude of fish. At that moment, what do you think went through their heads? It's like deja vu. It's like, and what did they realize in that moment? Look at verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loves saith to Peter, it is the Lord. They knew it was the Lord simply because they were very familiar with the miracle that just took place. We can read about it back in Luke 5, 1 through 11. The very same thing happened. Exact same, and you the right side of the boat, there's something to say about right-handed people. Just kidding. Something to say about, I say that in Charlie's benefit. He's left-handed. But there's something about, Christ said, go to the right side. And in fact, do a study on that. It's interesting when he says that. He continued right hand, right side, right, everything. So I think it's more than just a physical, I think it's more of a sociological mindset of when you do the right thing, you're going to go to the right side. And so he did that. And as they continued to do that, interesting enough, John, whom Christ loved, said, it is the Lord. He knew right away by the voice, he knew right away by what happened, that the only one who could ever make that happen was Christ. So now, all of a sudden, you have this boat full of people, and in this boat full of people, down through verse 6, and therefore they recognize him in verse 7, and the revelation in his power, the disciples basically knew, they drawled it up, their nets were too full, and then verse 8, well, finish verse 7, now then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded up his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. Think for a minute. First of all, Peter was still the leader of this group. Because when Peter went fishing, they all went fishing. So he was still the leader. Why did Christ want to reinstate Peter's faith and Peter's relationship so that Peter was confident that God could still use him? Because he was still their leader. God wanted to reinstate him so that he would lead these disciples, that he would continue to be the rock that we read about in the Gospels. He is changed his name to Peter. You are the little rock. You are the rock in which my church will be built upon. So when we see how important it is for Peter to come to this point, it is also true in our lives as we see how important it is that when we come to a place where, what do I do next? You know, everything around me that I once knew is going different. Everything looks different. Everything is, don't know what the new looks like. I don't know if I want the new. Don't know if I like the new. But we run to our comfort zone. And it's in the comfort zone, or if it's in the safe place that we have, God will show up there. God will be there. And God will reinstate us to go back. To go back out. And this is where I think it's so important when we understand when we fall down as Christians, we get back up and we keep moving. And this is why. Because God wants us to be the leaders. God wants us to be able to show the people around us. So it was very important that Peter was able to be reinstated, to have his relationship with God where God needed it to be, so that Peter then could go preach the message in Acts chapter 2. He was the leader, and God needed him to be leading for him. So he reinstated him. And God will do the same for us. I love that. I love the fact that when we are down, God says, okay, you're at this place. You and I are going to have a conversation. We're going to do things. First of all, how do you know it's God speaking to you? Because there's a lot of times, and we get these crazy ideas. And I know I'm not the only one that has some crazy ideas in life. We all get these crazy ideas. And I've heard so many people tell me, you know, I just don't know if this is the will of God or if it's just something I'm thinking about and something I want to do. Well, to me, that means you haven't spent enough time with God about it. If you're questioning who is behind it, then you better go back to your safety zone and figure out if God's with it or not. Because the worst place you can be is out of the center of God's will, no matter what you're doing. You could be the greatest missionary, preacher, greatest, whatever you want to be. If you're not in the center of God's will, it's not going to work. So, being in that center. So, right now, Peter had to get back into the center. And that's why chapter 21 is so important, because what Peter had to do is what we need to do many times in our life. We need to get back up, get back into the center gravity of God's will, and then just move forward. You can't stay stuck. You can't stay where you fell. You got to get up and keep moving and let that past be past. And I always tell everybody, listen, you cannot drive a car always looking in the rearview mirror. It's not for very long. You can try it, but not for very long. And so we got to let the past go, let past be past, be looking forward, letting our forward motion be done. And Peter needed to realize that lesson. So we find him here. But the key thing is, how do you know it's the Lord doing the speaking? For these men, how did they know it was the Lord doing the speaking? Well, they didn't know it in verse 5 because they simply answered him, no. And then when he told them to cast the net on the right side, I'm not sure if they all got it, but when they drew up all the fish, it clicked. It clicked. And all of a sudden, verse 7, John says to Peter, it is the Lord. It is Christ. So for you and I, how do we know it's God speaking to us? How do we know that what we're about to choose, what we're about to do in our life is something that God would want us to do? Well, you run down through the checklist. One, are you reading the Word of God? Does it conflict with the Word of God? Because God will never ask you and I to do something that is not agreeable in His Word, period. No matter who, if it's a relationship, if it's a workplace, if it's a situation, God will never lead us to do something that conflicts with His Word. So, is it cleared through the Word of God? And the next thing is, not only cleared through the Word of God, but does it give you peace if you walk through it? If you continue in it, does it give you peace? I'm not about the warm and fuzzy. It's not about the warm and fuzzy. It's about, you know, I have no regrets. I have no doubts. I have no fears because I really believe God is leading me in this direction. Life is a hallway full of many doors, and they're all unlocked, but not all of them are open. And the problem with a lot of Christians is we go to these doors and we'll read what the titles are and we'll just go through them. They're not open, but we'll push them through. See, to me, walking with God means that I'm going to walk that aisle way, and when the door is open, I'm going to walk through it. I'm not going to push it open because God wants me to go exactly where the door is open. And so the same thing, you got to make these choices. So is conflict with God's word? No. Do you have a peace about it? And would you want to be doing it if the Lord would return? Do you know so well that this is what God would want you to be doing that you would be wanting to be doing it if he returned? See, there are some questions that we can ask. So there are some things that we can work through to say, okay, God's in this. And listen, when God closes the door, don't say, man alive, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought he was in it, but the door closed. Now, Abraham, take your son and sacrifice him. Sometimes God will test us just to see if we're going to remain faithful to him. So just keep being faithful. Just keep moving that direction forward. And so there's a way. They knew it by what just took place. We will know it by how we walk with our God, how we have already made choices with our God. Bless you. And all those things in life. So what, there's a process. You have to have a process to follow God. It's just not a warm and fuzzy. You get up one day and think, you know what? I think God wants me to do this. Well, did you even spend time with God in prayer? Did you even, you know, the great thing is that you should never make those kind of decisions for at least 1 to 2 days after praying about them. Those knee-jerk reactions usually are the ones that get you in trouble. Unless you've already been praying through it, unless you've already been, you know, with God about it. And then let him open the doors. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how God has simply opened so many doors in my life. And how he has just opened the process up and allowed those things to happen. And the probably the one that I always tell the most and enjoy the most is how, when Kim and I met. How my prayer to me and God, nobody knew this prayer but me and God. God, if you are going to have me meet someone, then allow them to be okay with putting both spouse pictures on the walls for a little while for the kids. And I'm not sure how many Kim and I have been counseling back and forth. And so I asked him a simple question. I said, well, what's next? What are you going to do next? And she said, I don't know. She said, I'm not going to get married. I said, well, that's fine. I said the same thing. I'm not getting married either. And then her next statement was, but if I do, I want to marry somebody who's okay with putting both spouses' pictures on the wall first, so the kids would be okay for a year. And in my mind, I'm marrying a girl. She don't even know it. She don't even know it. That was God opening the door. That was God setting things up. And man, we need that confirmation from God. And so when I had that confirmation from God, it wouldn't matter. She wasn't going to say no. I knew she wasn't. I'm really glad she didn't. But I had faith in my God, not me. But I think they needed that too. Peter needed that. You see, that's what reinstatement to God means. You go through the pain. You go through the hurt. You go through the struggles. But God will reinstate you. God will give you that strength again. God will give you that heart again. God will give you those things in his timing when he has it set up. And you just got to be okay with that. And to me, that's what Peter needed before he ever preached that message in Jerusalem. Very important, I think a very important transition. But then Peter, in his interesting way that he reacts, because Peter, obviously, hearing John's words, really interesting how he, as he heard the words, Peter immediately jumped into the water, apparently swam to Jesus. That walking on the water thing didn't work for him the first time. It ain't going to work this time. He swam. Wherever he was, he went out and he went to Christ. You see, that's what happens when you run to your comfort safe place and God meets you there. You run right back to God. That's great. I mean, the reinstatement is happening. And in verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net of fish. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of the great fish, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broke. Same thing that happened before. And it's interesting, some commentaries sort of say, you know, what's the 153? What's the significance of the number? And I did a little research on that, and that number is not significant to any spiritual thing, but it was to them, because there was more than one person in the boat, there were more than one person fishing, and they fished as a team. And so all of them would divide up the catch, and so that you didn't know how many fish there were. I can't imagine sitting there counting 153 fish. Yeah, they were big fish. They were, but I wouldn't want to count 153 of them. But again, just like the first time, can you imagine? Peter wanted to take care of his family. That would have done probably a year's worth of work right there. Just that one haul in could have done enough money for them for a year. And so they counted the fish. They were going to divide the fish again. That was the reason they were there. And when Jesus invited them to eat with him, none of them asked basically who he was, for they knew it was the Lord. When he came at that point, verse 10, bring the fish which ye have now caught. They didn't question it. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth unto them the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. There's that three again. There's something about a three. And so for the third time, these disciples saw him after the death. Peter again being reinstated. Now, you can remember a time prior in Peter's life that God asked him a specific question. What was that question? Peter, do you love me? Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He is reinstating Peter. You see, the next principle that I pull out of this for our lives is the fact that when we do go to our safety, comfort zone, we do find God. We recognize He is the one that is strengthening us, lifting us. He's going to take us right back to where we failed. That's where Peter failed him. Peter said, yes, I love you, Lord, back in the earlier of his life. He said, three times he asked him, yes, Lord, I love you. In fact, I will die for you. And then he denied him three times. And so now we have him again coming and saying, what was the end of Christ's response to Peter the first time? If you love me, then this is what I want you to do. Feed my sheep. Keep the commandments. Feed my sheep. Feed. And that's what he says it again at the end of verse 15. Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again in 16, the second time, again, feed my sheep at the end of 16. He saith a third time in verse 17, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Why are you here fishing? Feed my sheep. When God reinstates you, He will bring you back to the moment and the point that you failed, that you gave up hope, that you doubted God, that things in your life all changed. He will bring you back to that point. Why? Because He says, now, okay, let's do this again. Because at this point, Peter said the exact same thing to the same three questions that God asked him the first time. And this time, God knew that he loved them. God knew that it was for real this time, because there's nothing about a denial after this one. You see, the first time Christ said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me. No way, no way, no way. Well, you know what? God doesn't say it this time, does he? Peter was exactly correct when he said at the end of 17, "All Lord, you, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Peter knew that he knew his heart. And this time, he was for real. He did love the Lord. Feed my sheep. Verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Thus he spake, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, "Follow me." He reinstated them, "Follow me." And I'm convinced that as we go through this world and as we go through this life, and we understand, as Peter is reinstated in all this, and God brings him back to an understanding and introduces the solemn petition again to Peter in verse 18, "Feed my sheep, follow me," in verse 19. Peter's response this time, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth his disciples whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, said, Lord, which he is that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And again, he tells Peter, listen, it's not your responsibility to worry about the people around you. It's not your responsibility to make sure they do what I ask them to do. And this is something that Peter needed, right? As he was reinstated to his relationship with God, now God reinstates him to the ministry that he had for him. And he was going to preach that message. And he was going to teach. He was going to be a part of Jerusalem. He was also going to be martyred for his faith. And in that whole concept of being martyred for the faith, again, we find God's plan for Peter's life. The last point is the fact that God, when he reinstates us, takes us back when we failed, reinstates the calling he had for us. And do you know how precious that is? Peter was called to be the little rock, the one that Christ was going to start his church on. He needed Peter to be okay because he already told him he was going to preach that in Acts. He reinstates Peter, but no matter what you and I do, we can't change the plan of God for our life. We can't change that plan. We may put a hold on it. We may put a little hiccup in it. But when God reinstates us, he reinstates us completely. He didn't penalize Peter. And I'll tell you what, he personally threw that dagger at Christ himself when he denied him three times. Go back in Luke and the look. Their eyes met as soon as that he denied him the third time, and Peter went out and wept bitterly because he knew. But you know what? That didn't change his plan in God, did it? He fell to the complete bottom, and God's plan never changed for his life. We cannot stand and say, but God cannot use me anymore. That's erroneous errors. That's false. Because God, when reinstated with God, man, it's a clean slate. Peter, feed my sheep. Don't worry about the other one. Feed my sheep. You're going to be able to continue the ministry that I have for you. Any comments on that? Anything coming to mind? Questions? I think it's important that we realize this, because how many times I have heard, maybe you have heard, that, boy, you know, God can't use me now. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Well, the only reason why he can't use you is you're not reinstated yet. Because I kind of think when Peter jumped out of the boat and he ran to the Lord, he knew. He was running to the Lord so that he could be repentant to God. God, you know I love you. He's already settled that issue with God. He's already remorse on the fact that he denied him three times. He worked through that already. And so, bam, when God was there, he was there. It doesn't really give us any idea why they didn't hear or know him, other than they weren't far off the shore. But were they far enough off the shore? And what, did he have his robe, cloak, hood up? You know, how they dressed, that they didn't recognize him. It's interesting, when he walked on the earth after the resurrection, he was in a state of bodily form, but because he ate with them. But he was still, after the resurrection, in a glorified state, but they didn't know. Could have been fog. There could have been just the sea noise. Could have been a lot of different things. But it doesn't specifically say, they heard him say, cast your net on the right. And it was the after they pulled the net in, they realized, hey, John said, this is God. This has to be of God. I don't know. That's an interesting question, to try to put it together and see why they didn't recognize. Well, because scripture says, my sheep know me and know my voice. So you would have think that they would have heard that voice, they would have known him. But I don't know. A lot of variables in there. Were they expecting him? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they were really hoping. Because the last time, they were still obedient, even though they may not have recognized him. And if that would have clicked in their minds that an angel told them beforehand that Christ was going to meet them, maybe they had in their mind, well, you know, maybe that's him. Let's throw it out there and see. Yeah, pretty tired. Yeah. Yeah. He went through the purification. Yeah. And that's something that it's starting to go to a level of, I don't know. I don't know how that looks. I don't know what that is. All I know is that sin cannot enter into heaven. And he went straight up into heaven as they watched him go. So while he was on earth, after his resurrection, he had always had a sinless body. But he went right back up into heaven. So no part of him ever was sin in that body. And then scripture says we will be like him. So whatever he looked like, however he looked, that's what we're going to be like. Y'all going to be 32 years old again. I've heard that preached, and I'm like, really? We don't know. Charlie, you have... Oh, I thought you had something.
Peter was always over zealous in everything he did. From a human perspective, the Lord finally got him turned around, and all that zealous attitude was directed correctly.
Right. Sure. And Paul was another example. He always jumped in. I mean, he was the first one out of the boat and walked on the water for a few steps anyway, the first time. But yeah, I mean, Paul the same way. Paul had a zeal and a zest for serving God. He just needed to do it the right way. And so God took that and changed that. But man, God wants to use all of us. We're not that old. We're not out of the game. God says, you know, I'll use you where you are. The bloom where we're planted, wherever that is. You know, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, God doesn't care where we've been. He doesn't care what we've done. He only cares where we're going. God is a God who is always moving forward in our life. We're the ones who put the brakes on, get stuck in the mud, and we think we can't be used or don't want to be used, and we use that stuff for excuses. If you really pull the layers off the banana, all it is an excuse to go do what we want to do. And we say, God can't use you anymore for what I've done. Now, you have no clue on God's forgiveness. This reinstatement in Peter's life is huge to every one of us, because there's going to be a time in all of our lives, sooner or later, that we need to be reinstated to continue the mission that God has given us. And man, I love chapter 21. That's a great chapter. Any other comments, questions? All right, let's close our study down in prayer tonight. Father, thank you again for the study. We thank you for who you are. And God, I just thank you for, boy, I tell you what, another way of showing how much you love us, that you are so willing to forgive and to reinstate. And God, this is a part of the definition.